Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang dhammang sanghang namassami. Thought to just offer a few short reflections on this very auspicious occasion of Samanera Dhigatasi and Anagarika Thomas Lindblom being born into the world. They learned all their lines very well and all of the procedures. The wedding is one thing, but the marriage is another, as they say. So far, so good. And you've trained yourselves well. And also much gratitude to the trainers, the Ajahns who are helping to prepare them as candidates. So today is the full moon day. This is the last day of the Kartika month, the month after the end of the rains retreat. And so, according to the Buddhist calendar, at least the way that it works in the southern Buddhist countries, this is the last day of the year. So in the Thai calendar, today is the full moon, and this is the last day of 2560. And the Sinhalese in Sri Lankan calendar, tomorrow is the full moon, and it's the last day of 2561. Also, you can hear the fireworks going off. This is running up to November the 5th, Guy Fawkes Night, which is only a public holiday in the UK, celebrating the gunpowder plot that failed to blow up the Houses of Parliament many years ago. And so it's also a festive time. So these kind of occasions, I notice every year when I mention this is New Year's Eve, on this particular full moon day, you get this kind of communal sense of, huh? What? What's he talking about, New Year? But this is one of those clear opportunities to reflect upon how, as human beings, we create structures and forms, we create conventions. So in this country, November the 5th is a big day because it's the anniversary of the gunpowder plot, Guy Fawkes and William Catesby and the crew that wanted to blow up the king and Parliament and failed to do so. And they've been celebrating the day ever since, with bonfires and effigies of Guy Fawkes being burnt and fireworks going off. Over in France, November the 5th is not special. In Mexico, the 5th of May is a big holiday. Cinque de Mayo is the 5th of May, I believe, is Independence Day for Mexico. So the 5th of May, when you're living in the States, suddenly fireworks are going off on the 5th of May, not the 5th of November. They have a holiday. So we say, is this 2560? Is it 2561? Is it what year is it? We can say it's 2017, or what year is it according to the Jewish calendar, or the Chinese calendar, or the Tibetan calendar? We take a particular, say, aspect of the Earth turning around the sun, and we put a number on it. We create a number and say, 2560, 2561, 2562 begins tomorrow. But these are our human creations. These are conventions that we use, say, for the purpose of ordering our lives. We have conventions because they serve a purpose, just like the convention of the Samanera training, the brown robes of the Buddhist monastic, or the white robes of the Anagarika, the homeless one, the eight precepts, the ten precepts, these are human creations. These don't have an inherent and absolute existence. We use them because the Buddha established these as training forms, but they have no intrinsic substance on their own, like this this particular we call a year. It doesn't have a number intrinsically attached to it. How many years has it been since the Big Bang? Yeah. And what was time before the Big Bang happened? Yeah, time and space didn't exist. So the more that we can recognize that we determine these kind of conventions into being, and that they represent human agreements, the agreement of the 8 precepts, the 10 precepts, the agreement of calling this 2017, November the 3rd, or we call it the 15th day, of the last fortnight of the year of 2560, and at dawn tomorrow, 2561 will begin. If we recognize, well, that's just an agreement, that's just a human convention, then we won't get lost in it. Then it can serve its purpose. It can be useful to us. As soon as we think it's absolutely real, as soon as we think, no, it really is. It's not 2561. It's 2017. Everybody knows that. It's written on the calendar. As soon as we recognize that this is a determination, something that is agreed upon, then we are able to use that convention, can serve its purpose. It can help us to function harmoniously together as a human society, a human family. But then those conventions don't limit us. They don't define us. So in the ordination ceremony, the pavaja, then there's the reflection on the 5 external features of the body: hair of the head, hair of the body, nails, teeth, and skin. This is the external form of a human life. This is the way that we look when we see ourselves, we see our skin, and we see our face in a mirror, we see other people. That's what we say that person is. We say they're light-skinned or dark-skinned. We say they're a woman. We say they're a man. We say they have short hair or long hair, no hair, curly hair, red hair, dark hair, gray hair. We define ourselves through these external features, and billions and billions and billions of pounds are spent every year on Kesaloma Naka Danta Tacho, the various arrangements of hair of the head, hair of the body, nails, teeth, and skin. And according to fashions, they change rapidly about what is considered attractive or unattractive or modern or out of date or bygone ages. So the first of the 10 fetters is self-view, the belief, I am the body, I am the personality. The Buddha's teachings, and that they're right there. He gave this, gave the tool. If you want to live a life of a samana, and you want that intention of going forth as a samana to be fulfilled, lesson number one, task number one, is to recognize the body is not self, the personality is not self. These thoughts, these emotions, these opinions are not self. They're not who and what we are. These are patterns of nature that arise, take shape, pass away. They're not who and what we are. The experience of existence is they formed through these eyes, ears, this nose, tongue, body, and mind. They're formed within the framework of this life. This mind is a zone of experience that operates through eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind. But those patterns of experience are not who and what we are. So that the Buddha's encouragement, and also giving us the tools to fulfill that effort to liberate the heart. Say, okay, lesson number one. Look at this body. Look at other people's bodies. Look at the world and recognize this is just the appearance of things. This is not who and what you are. This is just the seeming. This is just determined into existence as being attractive or unattractive. and that doesn't have any intrinsic essence. So that this reflection, hair of the head, hair of the body, nails, teeth, and skin, is a way of, in a sense, empowering that insight into self-view, freeing the heart from the fetter, the chains, the handcuffs of self-view. So that when the mind says, well, I am a man, or I am a Theravada Buddhist, or you know, I am English, or, I am 61 years old, that the mind is able to recognize, well, that's a way of speaking, that's got a conventional truth to it, but what does that really mean? What is that really pointing to? Does that have any real and absolute meaning, absolute substance? And in that questioning, in that exploring, there's something in the heart that recognizes, well, yeah, that's a convenient fiction, it's a way of speaking, but it couldn't be the whole truth. Aha! And in that seeing, there's a release, there's a breaking of those fetters. seeing that uncertain, transient, empty nature of experience, seeing that the limited quality of the body and the personality, seeing that that's not truly who and what we are, seeing that those judgments are false and faulty, then that is that seeing of uncertainty, seeing of anicca, the mind that recognizes this is the path, that seeing the empty nature of all sankharas, the empty, unsatisfactory, changing nature of all things, the mind that is able to see that and the development of that seeing, that is the path. And the mind that knows that is beyond doubt that that is the path, that is another breaking of a fetter. The recognition of conventions, that saying this is 2561 or 2562 begins tomorrow, or this is still, it's 2017 today and maybe 2017 tomorrow. The mind that recognizes these are conventions, they have no intrinsic substance. These are human agreements. That again, that's the breaking of the fetter of silapata paramasa, attachment to conventions, to rites and rituals. Even though the two candidates, the new samanera and new anagarika, they performed the ceremonies perfectly. They got all the moves, the entering, leaving, bowing, all of the moves were correct. The correctness of the moves is only relative. You know, we agree, Ajahn Yanarato is our ritual master here at Amravati. He's always got a fine-tuned sense of how ceremonies can be performed most graciously and appropriately. But we set up the patterns of when people arrive, when people leave, what's the exact place to stand. That's done by human agreement. If we said, don't stand behind the lotus flower that marks the Sima boundary, but stand in front of it, that would be the right place, rather than on the far side of it. We agree these things into existence, so that when we look at these qualities, we look at these as aspects of experience, and truly know them, then the intention for which somebody requests a going forth, we can see that's the way these intentions are fulfilled, to break the fetter of self-view, to break the fetter of doubt about what is the path, what is not the path, to break the fetter of attachment to conventions. And when those three fetters are broken, then that is the point of no return. That's a spiritual turning point. If the heart can truly recognize that, can truly awaken to that, can truly see, this is the path, this is the way to practice, to know beyond doubt that there is no sankhara that can have any absolute, complete substance, to recognize there is no form that can be permanent, that there is no sound or movement or perception that can have intrinsic meaning, then the heart that recognizes that, that seeing is the way, then once that's really been actualized, been awakened to, then there's no falling away. That's the breakthrough. That's the point of no return. So on this evening, I sincerely hope that the two newly hatched ordinands, Samanera Digadasi and Anagarika Thomas, that you take this occasion, the formal going forth, the changing of your clothing from Thomas's colored clothing into white, and Venerable Digadasi's white clothing into brown, that you take these changes and the formal aspects of the ceremonies, really take them to heart and to recognize, well, yeah, you're strengthening the potential that you have to bring about this kind of turning point in your life. This is the potential that we have as human beings to awaken, to realize that point of no return, whereby the as the Buddha said, once that point of no return has been reached, once the deathless has been recognized, then the gates to the lower realms are closed. One is guaranteed to realize full and complete enlightenment within the next seven lifetimes. In the chanting of the Dhammacakka Sutta, this is characterized just in the simple phrase, Yankinchi Samudaya Dhammang Sabantang Nirodha Dhammanti. Whatever is of the nature to arise is of the nature to cease. So I sincerely hope that your undertaking of these precepts, this commitment to live as a Anagarika for 1 year, commitment to live as a Samanera for 1 year, that you use that framework, that convention, that form, as a way to truly penetrate that extraordinarily simple but profound insight that whatever is of the nature to arise is of the nature to cease. And if we can apply that to our perceptions, to our thoughts, to our emotions, to the way we look at this body, the way that we look at other bodies, the way that we look at the material world, the buildings, the planet, then the going forth, the gesture that you have made today will not be in vain. The motivation, the purpose of taking on these robes, shaving your head, and setting forth on this path, it will bring about the goal for which you have set the direction. It'll enable you to arrive at that destination. So I'll leave my reflections here for this evening. We've all been here for quite a while, and we'll have a vigil as usual, carrying on till midnight, and formally close the evening with a short period of chanting right at 12 midnight. And of course, this is the last day of the year, but New Year doesn't begin at midnight in Buddhist convention, but begins at dawn. So we would be bringing the New Year in not at midnight, but when dawn comes. So it's another one of those conventions that we adopt, we create, and we kind of make something, we give it meaning through our own way of paying attention. So I offer these thoughts for reflection this evening.